And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The key verse tonight is verse 2. Paul said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. As Brother Angel pointed out a few minutes ago, that we have a calling as Christians that's far too big for us. I've said this all the time. Listen, we can't even live the Christian life in our own power. It is impossible to live a Christian life in your own power. That's an impossibility. We have to live the Christian life, or really it's Christ living his life through us, and it's his power. That's the only possibility that we have. And oh, hey, Whitney, while I'm in a timeout, man, we got a commercial break. You're going to have surgery tomorrow. Yeah, I forgot to mention that this morning. We're going to pray for Whitney, okay? As soon as I saw you, I got to say it now, man. All right, we're off the commercial break, back onto this. Pray for Whitney, y'all. Think about it, 12 o'clock tomorrow. She'll be in surgery. But we have this other calling, and we represent Christ on earth, and we preach a crucified Savior to a dying world. Now think about the impossibility of that, that we're going to go tell somebody about a man that's the Savior, and to them supposed to be the Savior, but yet that he was crucified, and that he died, and that he was put in a tomb. Of course, we got the resurrection, we know all about that. But this is the foolishness of preaching that the Bible speaks about. It's not foolish, but it is to them, and that don't see, they don't understand that. And so we think about a situation or this circumstance, however you want to look at it, of what God has called us to do and how impossible or how great that is or big for us. And start thinking about that, how big that is. Paul was at Corinth. We talked about that city last Sunday night or Sunday night before that, full of vice. I mean, it was a wicked place. This whole world, I mean, you don't have to go to Colorado, but I mean, you know, Colorado, listen, that's a tough place for an independent Baptist church. Trust me, Brother Thornsley, man, I mean, he labored out there and everything. And all I'll say, I know you already been out there. You can't do it out there like you do it here. You can preach the same message, but you got to do it a little different. They're just different. They don't, man, you go out there and try. He took that North Carolina independent Baptist church out there, man. And people said, what in the world happened there? But I mean, it's tough, man. It's tough. There's a lot of churches and there's a lot of liberalism out there. And I mean, it's like the whole world's getting that way. It's not easy being, we're in the Bible Belt for crying out loud, and it's tough sledding sometimes around here. And so, but Paul was at this city Corinth, full of vice, full of immorality, and we, our time that God chose for us to be on this planet and this time that we're living in right now, we're in this place. We're in the world that we have at this particular time, a city then, and then a whole world that we're living in today that's corrupt, immoral, man, I mean, apart from God and getting farther away every minute. And so we think about all those things. What we face, a world full of pride, a world full of lust, a world full of immorality, a world full of self. I mean, self, pleasing self, self-centeredness. That's the rule of the day. And entertainment, pleasure, that's the goal of most of the world today. And so then we're also up against the wisdom of this world. Now, the wisdom of this world, I know it doesn't compare to the wisdom of God, but the problem is the world doesn't know that. And so we're dealing with a world that is set in its ways. We're dealing with a world that is convinced that it is right. They think that they have everything figured out, and so we're going to go up to them with what looks like to them foolishness, the preaching of the gospel. But we got God on our side. Don't get discouraged. I mean, we've got the Holy Spirit of God dealing right there and dealing with hearts. And so, hey, we're not on the losing side. Just let me put it that way. But I'm going to tell you what, you can't do it in your strength. You can't do it in your power. You have to do it in the power of God. And so this world that's wise in its own eyes, there are legends in their own mind. And in the midst of this world, we, the Christians, have some things. I'm only going to give you three things, but three responsibilities, I guess we call it. The very first thing is we have a mission to be fulfilled. You can feel free to use this outline, brother. It'd go good for a missionary. It would be good for a missionary. A mission to be fulfilled. And so in the midst of that city, so full of pride and sin, Paul knew that they couldn't face the challenge ahead of them with a faith that's based only on intellectual assent. You hear me? You can't face the world that we live in on a faith that's only based on intellectual assent. In other words, only having it in your head. Huh? What you know. Listen, Satan knows more of the Bible than you and I, all of us put together. He can probably quote everything from A to Z in the Bible. He just knows it in his mind because of the wisdom that he has and the knowledge that he has. But listen, man, it's not a heart thing. It's not the power of God. It's not the Holy Ghost of God. So here we are. We can't face the challenges we see only having head knowledge. Now, I know the Bible tells us to study the Word of God, study to show ourselves to prove unto God a workman who need not be ashamed. I know all that. We are to study the Word right there just so we have it in our mind. But I'm going to tell you what, it's got to be more than that. Listen, it's a lot of people have intellectual assent to what the Bible teaches or what we say. And listen, we can study and we should, and we can memorize the entire Bible. And we can split hairs about the tense of the Greek, what tense it may be in, the tense of the verb or the nuances of Greek language. But we'll never win the lost world to Jesus Christ by a theological argument. Amen. That Vance Havner said that. You'll never win the lost. You'll never win the lost with an argument. He said, you're going to win the lost with a testimony. And I'm going to tell you what, like I said this morning, you don't have a testimony unless you've had a test. That's all there is. You know, that's the only way that you'll win the world. I mean, they've got to see something in our lives. And so it's got to be a living reality. If we're going to go out here, we've got a message to proclaim. Brother, you better believe it. I mean, people know when you don't believe it yourself. You ever had anybody tell you something? I've had people tell me something I knew they were lying because they hadn't even convinced themselves yet it's true. Huh? And you go out there and if you're not totally convinced, I've always said this, I could sell Kirby vacuum cleaners, man. I'll tell you why, because I believe in a Kirby, man. That's a vacuuming machine, man. That thing is, I mean, listen, I got one, Paul Delaney. I even bought one off Paul Delaney, man. I bought a vacuum cleaner off of him, man. That Kirby vacuum cleaner, I've had them, they came to my house and wanted to sell them, made $1,200, whatever they were. I got one from Paul for like $99.95 or something like that, a used one. But I mean, you know what? I could do the whole spiel. I could really sell them because I think, you know, they're good, man. They're good. They're heavy, but they're good. Huh? You got to be convinced. You know, you've got to be convinced that it's a reality, that you believe without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ rose and that he rose from the dead. I mean, and he's resurrected. He's living today. We got to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got to know it's the truth. And if you're not convinced, if it's not a reality, if it's past your mind, it's got to be your life. It's got to be your whole life. You'll never win anybody to Christ unless there's the power of a testimony of a transformed life. They know if it's real. They know. Faith has got to be a reality in your life. A living faith. Huh? Listen, we can come to church every Sunday. Like I said this morning, you can read your Bible a little bit. You can read your Bible a lot. Huh? You can pray, sing the song, say amen, do all that stuff right there. But if you're not living the faith, living your life in faith in Jesus Christ, it's nothing. It's nothing. There's nothing there. And what'll happen is this world, listen, the pressures of this world, look what we're under right now. Man, listen, the homosexual agenda caving in on us. Man, now to the point where, the truth is people hate the truth. They're after us, man. I mean, if you tell the truth, they signify you, us now, to listen, us right here, Independent Fundamental. We are designated hate group. A designated hate group. I'm going to get a t-shirt that says it. I'm a designated hate group. That's what they say. I don't hate anybody, man. Listen, I mean, everybody needs to get saved. But that's what they have put us in. The truth is the world can't take the truth. It doesn't want to hear the truth. We're living in this time. And what's going to happen? All that pressure, your friends, your peers. Oh, listen, you're homophobic. You're too narrow-minded. You got all these problems. And it's just, if you're not, listen, if your faith's not real, you're going to cave in like a cheap lawn chair, man. I mean, you just never be, and you'll get sucked into the world that's around you. Huh? That's how it works. That's how it gets you, just a little bit at a time. And listen, I'm going to tell you about the world. The world is slick. The world is smart. Listen, Satan, don't doubt his power. Huh? He's slick. He's smarter than you. He'll hook you in. If you don't have Christ, he'll get you. And if it's not real, you wait. The wheat and the tares, huh? The separation. God really don't have to separate them. Satan will do it. Huh? He'll pull them tares out like this. They'll be dropping like flies. Huh? He'll have half of them out before the Lord has to separate anything. All he got to do is a little persecution, a little pressure from the outside. And so if we're going to stand, if we're going to live on a plane, listen to me, higher than just getting by. You know, there's people that saved. I believe they're saved. I believe they put faith in the Lord. But I'm going to tell you what, their faith is not seen very well. It's not a powerful faith where you go out and testimony like Brother Angel said, talking to somebody about the Lord, man. I mean, listen, this is what we're supposed to be doing. We've got a mission to be fulfilled. This is what God, but people, a lot of them are just getting by. They don't want to feel the pressure. They don't want to rock the boat anywhere. They're afraid of failure. Don't be afraid of failure. Listen, I failed most of my life before I got saved. Why should I worry about it after I get saved? Huh? How many? We failed a lot, right? Let's just, so what, we go out and, listen, you're not failing. If you go out and talk to somebody about the Lord and they don't get saved, maybe you're just planting a seed, maybe they get saved later, and maybe they won't get saved, but that's not a failure, because on judgment day, they'll stand before the Lord and he'll say, listen, I'm going to tell you something. You were told, and that was our mission at the time. I mean, it's not a failure. You just do what God, if you're doing what God told us to do and commissioned us to do, it's not a failure. He's the one that's, he's in charge of the results, not you and I. And so don't look at it like that. And so, we can live in the power, we can live in victory, and we have to have experiential faith where you know, it's God has worked in your life. I mean, these people, man, you know, man, I remember one time, it's 40 years ago, man, that, you know, God worked in my life. And you've been, say, 40 years since, and God hadn't done nothing else? Huh? You get around a church sometime, we're going to have testimony time. Somebody tell me what God done in your life this week. Hit the cricket sounds there. Sure, boop, beep, 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 beep. Huh? What? Yeah, that's slick, isn't it? Huh? Listen, huh? Tell me what God done in your life. Well, I had the sniffles last week, and I prayed about it and took a Claritin, and they went away. come on, man. You got to have, there's something that, if God's not working in your life, if your faith's not any more real than that, how in the world are you going to win somebody to Christ? Man, is it hot in here? Is it just me? Huh? Huh? I mean, man, listen, so, we've got to have experiential faith. I mean, a living reality in your life, and then you can be excited about it. When you get excited about something, you know, if you find out some little tidbit of news, nowadays, you know, texting, your phone gets blowed up with text messages, right? Hey, man, did you hear what happened to Brian? Huh? You find, put some dirt on somebody, see how fast it'll blow around here. We got a better message than that. Huh? Listen, I mean, man, and it's real. I said, remember one time when I was a kid, and I grew up in Virginia Beach, and in the neighborhood, there was a farms fields over, and back in them days, over there on the next place, ended up building a neighborhood over there, of course, but it had a farm. And old man Oliver's barn burnt down. Man, you ought to heard how fast, we didn't have text message and all that. And everybody, did you hear about it? Oliver's barn burnt down. Old man Oliver's barn burnt down. Blah, 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 blah. And we talked, everybody's excited about it. Excited about somebody else's barn burning down. But it was news, you know. We got better news than that, right? But see, if it's not a reality in your life, you're not that excited about it. And, you know, we get jaded and things, I know that. And so the world cannot see or feel the impact of faith in themselves because they don't have it yet, or somebody doesn't have it yet. They have to see it and feel it in us. I told you about them ladies, and when my kids played ball, man, I was witnessing the ladies at the bleachers. I called myself a bleacher preacher. Huh? I was talking to them. And this lady went to church. She was a churchgoer down here in one of the mainline churches. And she looked at me, she said, "You make it sound so real." I said, "It is real." For crying out loud, I ain't making it sound real. It's real, right? I mean, it's real. It's excitement. So my excitement about it. So they have to see it and feel it in us. Us standing in the power of God. I told you all about this a week or so ago. I met this turkey hunter out in the middle of the woods, and we yakked about Colorado. We talked about turkey hunting, and then he said he went out west, and, you know, I perked up on that. And then we talked about going elk hunting. He said, you know, he talked about that. And, man, I wanted to leave, and I shared this with you. I just was ready to go. I talked to him 45 minutes about hunting, and I was going to go, and God kept saying to me, "Man, you done yakked to this guy about hunting for 45 minutes. You ain't going to tell him about me?" I just wanted to go, and I said, well, so I started talking to him, witnessing to him. He said he used to go to church years ago. You know, I shared with most of you guys, and I talked to him a little bit, and he wanted to know, how did I know that Christianity, and he wasn't being argumentative, he was asking a question. How did I know Christianity was real? Because the other religions are going to think that they're real right there. I said, well, two things. I said, number one, I said, hey, we have a resurrected Savior, and all the other religions, their founders are dead, there's bones in the grave. I said, we had Jesus and he resurrected. And I said, the second thing, I said, how do you think I'm standing here talking to you? Out here in the middle of the woods, don't know you from the man of the moon. I believe this is God ordained. But how do you think I have the courage to talk to you about Jesus? And he said, man, you're doing a good thing. I said, no, I'm not doing anything. I said, God's just doing it through me. Huh? But I said, that's a testimony, see, because I said, I don't really of myself have the courage to do that. It's, you know, because Satan tries to talk you out of it. And so that was my example, you know, and he said, he had something to think about. I mean, the guy didn't get saved that day. I mean, I could see he was, but I told him to pray and ask God. I said, ask God to reveal himself to him somehow and what the truth is. And I said, your time, brother. I'm the second preacher he ran into in those woods in a week's time. And I said, God trying to talk to you about something else, and get you on your mind on that. So listen, the world we live in, we are surrounded by every possible evil influence that there can be. When we was kids, TV went off at 12 o'clock. Ooh, old test pattern came on. Places shut down. Bars and all that stuff shut down. You had to work at falling into sin, man. I mean, you had to put some effort. Not now. Huh? Listen, man, sin's, my phone's back there doing the Facebook thing. You can, it's only that far away. Huh? You can sin right there. It's right there in your hand. Listen, I mean, everything's open 24 hours a day. I mean, whatever you want. Listen, it's easy to get to sin now. I mean, sin will find you. I mean, we're surrounded by every possible evil influence designed to pull us down, to destroy our testimony, to tear our families apart, to tear our churches apart. Listen, everything, Satan is kicking and screaming. He's throwing everything he's got at the world today, at the lost world, to keep them where they are. He's throwing it at the Christian people to try to keep them down from witnessing to anybody. He's throwing everything at our families. He's throwing everything at our church. He's doing all he can to tear up all that he can because he knows time is getting short. He knows that. And the only way to stand and fulfill our mission is to stand by the power of God. That's it, the power of God. And if you're saved, we have the power of God. You may not be using it. It drives me nuts. Somebody go out here and buy a Corvette and get out on the interstate, and they don't even do the speed limit. Let me have that thing, man. Huh? I mean, you got the horsepower right there. Huh? Let's use it. Huh? I mean, I'd probably get in trouble. But I'm just saying, why go below the speed limit? Why not like 5 miles over the speed limit? Something. You got all that horsepower. It just aggravates me. We got the power of God. Not using it. Not using the power of God, man. Push on the gas. Might get a message together on that. So we got a mission to be fulfilled. We got a message to proclaim in verse 2. The same verse. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Listen, Paul, here was the Apostle Paul. He'd been imprisoned at Philippi, smuggled out of Thessalonica. At Athens, he argued with the philosophers about their agnosticism, and he didn't accomplish all that much in any of those cases right there. And then God told Paul in Acts 18, 9 through 10, He said, "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." That's what God told him. So Paul determined not to argue or debate with anybody about anything, but preach Christ crucified and risen. That was the message that he had. That's really what we got. That's the message that we have. And he knew it. He had the conviction. He knew that Jesus Christ, he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. He knew that he resurrected. Man, what a story to tell. He could tell that story over and over and over again. Man, I was just riding along there, going down the road. Man, Jesus appeared. Boom, I fell over. Everybody else fell down. Man, I was blinded. Man, I mean, you know, the Lord spoke to me. I mean, good night. I'd be yapping that thing everywhere I went, huh? You'd talk about that from your days from then on, right? I mean, this is what happened. We ought to have a testimony similar to that of some kind. So he had something that he knew. I said this a couple weeks ago. How did people allow themselves to be skinned to death, skinned alive, filleted to death, burned to the stake, sawn asunder? How did they allow that for something that was a lie? No, they did it because it was a truth. Deny the Lord? I can't deny the Lord. I know He's real. It's the truth. He's in me. He's in me. How can I do it? And so that's how they did it. They didn't have any choice in that. And so he had the conviction. He knew it was true. And so the question is, do you know it's true? Well, tell somebody about it. Tell people about it. Man, every opportunity, the opportunities, man, it's unbelievable. You hear a lot of messages today designed to improve the flesh. Let me tell you something right now. These self-help messages. You know, they talk about this problem and that problem. It's all Band-Aids. Number one, you can't improve the flesh. You cannot improve the flesh. Flesh can't cast flesh out. You cannot improve the flesh. Now, they're popular. People like them because they don't get any conviction about that. They just find out some help that they got to help them go along in their old sinful life. It doesn't do any good. And a lot of circus acts and smoke and disco balls and rock concerts and dinners and bingo. And, you know, I want to hear somebody now, "Oh, man, I can't play bingo." I didn't say you couldn't play bingo. Just play bingo. I'm just saying. Whatever. Medical mission things. You know, nothing wrong with medical missions as long as the gospel's attached to it. And that ought to be the main thing, you know, because Jesus did it the other way. The medical thing was a sideline with Jesus. The gospel message was, he was preaching himself. But missions to repair homes, you know, but they don't deal with the heart. They don't, you know, only with the flesh. We got programs, schemes, Band-Aids for our problems, watered down, unoffensive messages with no conviction, no power. All of these things are substitute for what God commanded us to do, the message that He gave us to proclaim. They're just a substitute thing. And the church buys into it. We fall into doing that because it's easier, doesn't get anybody's feathers ruffled up, doesn't get anybody saved either, but we don't have to, you know, it makes everybody feel good and they got that warm, fuzzy feeling and they go out and, you know, they're all happy with you and, you know what, but what's cool about getting older? You don't care. You don't care if everybody's happy with you, right? I mean, it just doesn't bother you the same way. Now, And I said this too a couple weeks ago. God has to let this other mess fail. It has to fail. If it doesn't fail, we'll never depend on Him. We'll depend on our schemes and our methods and our plans. It has to fail, and God has to let it fail. And thank God for that. And then when it fails, we'll cry out for an outpouring of His Holy Spirit so that we can live in power and preach in power and walk in power and witness in power. Listen, that's what we got to have. We've got to fail. Listen, enough of those failed times out there trying to witness in your own flesh and in your own strength. That'll cause you to cry out when you get ready to go witness to somebody that you got the power of God in your life when you do that. Otherwise, and listen, even then, we don't always succeed, but we just did what God wanted us to do. And when revival comes, guess what we'll find out? We'll find out how far off the message we've been. And when real revival comes, we'll find out how far off track that we have gotten as God's people or as a church, and it'll turn your life upside down. It'll turn your life upside down. Does God take our praying seriously when He sees how we live our life? Think about that. Does God, when God sees our life as how we live our life in, you know, our real life, does he take our praying seriously? The Bible says the Jews required a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Matthew 12, 39 through 40 says, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The only sign that we're going to give anybody is the sign of Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected. That's the sign. It's the only sign. And that's the message that we have. Why? Because it just cuts right to the chase, man. It cuts down to the chase, brushes aside all the fluff, and gets to the heart of the problem. So we've got a mission to be fulfilled. We've got a message to proclaim. And the third thing is we have a mystery to be revealed. A mystery to be revealed. Verse 9 and 10, it says, but as is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath, that's past tense, prepared for them that love him. But God hath, past tense, revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. You hear this verse used a lot of times at a funeral after somebody dies and said, you know, hadn't entered into the heart of man what God's prepared for them. It's not talking about right there in context. It's not talking about in heaven. It's talking about what he hath prepared for us right here now in this life. That's what it's talking about. We're way off track. I don't know that it's entered into our heart either what God has totally prepared for us in heaven. Not that much said about it, but this verse isn't talking about that. And here's the thing. The world may think that we're a fool. You know, they don't get it. And I get it. I mean, I understand why they don't get it. Because, you know, we were lost once or two. I remember when I first got saved, and I remember about old Independent Fundamental Baptist Church up in Amosville, Virginia, if you know where that is, up, you know, near Warrenton, and got saved up there on Thursday night visitation. Thank God for that. And but, you know, I hadn't been saved long, and we was having a revival all week. There was an evangelist named John Long. He looked like Lyndon B. Johnson, man. He used to, when he preached, he went back and forth. Everybody's head looked like they were looking at a tennis match watching him, man. He was a good old shoe guy, man, just comfortable around him and stuff. And, man, he preached all week long. And on Friday night, we had a dinner. And I remember got dinner. I wanted to sit near the preacher. And Brother Long, I like to sit there and listen and see what they were going to talk about. And we got down there and got our dinner. And I remember it was distinctly, it hit me. I can picture it just like it was yesterday. And I sat right in 1987. And I sat right there and thinking to myself, I said, man, here it is. It's Friday night. And I'm sitting in a church, had a revival meeting. And you got to remember, it hadn't been long come out of the world. I'm sitting in a church at a revival meeting, having a church dinner, man, and I'm having a good time. Did the old world and people that I knew that I before today understand that? Mm-mm. They didn't understand that, man. They thought you had to be ripping and running, hanging out, to closing the place down at night, and you know, to have fun, wake up with your head, feel like it's going to blow off your shoulders. And I'm having fun. They convince them of that. Listen, you know, the world doesn't understand it. But the world can't see and know itself the mystery of God. And you know what one of the mysteries of God are? Us. Look at this. Like we said today, look at this group. It's a mystery, all right. Huh? It's a mystery. The mystery to them is the reality of the Christian life in us. The transformed life. They have no answer. Listen, they'll argue with you till you're blue in the face. And there's one thing. Listen, I don't care what you do. If somebody doesn't want to believe there's a God, you can't prove it. God could do something, but you can't. You can take the Word of God and say, you know, and they got one answer for you, written by man. You can say, well, you know, but the prophecies. Yeah, but they'll write, I'm going to give you the arguments. I've heard them all. There's prophecies written 700 years. Prophecies about Jesus being born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem wasn't even a city yet. And they're going to say, well, somebody wrote that down later on. You know, they wrote it later. You can't. What are you going to do with that? I mean, you can argue till you're blue in the face. But I'm going to tell you what, that transformed life, they got nothing to say. They said, well, I don't know what it is, man, but you're different. That's true. You know, and that's the thing. It's a mystery to them. And they, and if it's not God, if they don't want to attribute the transformation to God, they don't know where else to go. There's nowhere else. Well, what happened, man? What happened, man? You took some good drugs, man, and you got all weirded out like that? No, because I took all them weird things and I still didn't get to this point in my life, right? I didn't get there that way. I was on a trip, but I was on the wrong one, right? So they can't explain it. It's a mystery, the reality of the Christian life. They ought to see that in us. But I just wonder how many people that claim that they're saved and how many people are sitting on churches, in churches even tonight somewhere, maybe even here. How many people? There's no way that your neighbors and your friends and the people you come in contact with, you young people when you go to school, can they look at you and say, man, you represent a mystery that I cannot explain, that I do not know. I do not know what happened, that you're so different. I wonder about that. What is that reality like? That's what we're supposed to be. A mystery is a mystery to be revealed. And so listen, this isn't a club that we join. Christianity is not a club. Oh, well, you know what? I just think I'm going to get a Christian. Vance Havner said, boy, you give somebody a badge and a medal, a certificate, something to that effect, said they'll join anything. They'll join up with anything. Oh, we're joiners. He said we're just a nation of joiners. We'll join up with anything for a certificate and a medal. To say that we belong, and people join us, oh, they like to put that on there. It looks good on your obituary. Faithful member of Valley View Baptist Church. I know people that have things on resume type things that says they're faithful members of Valley View Baptist Church, and if I told you the name and you saw them, you would never even know who they are. Huh? Just want to have it on there. It looks good on your obituary when you die. Oh, they probably went to heaven. They faith member of Valley View or whatever church that they may belong to. Well, join up. But this isn't a club to join up with. Some outside extracurricular activity that we participate in. This is our life. It's our life. It's you can't take it out. Oh, well, how come you just can't have that and not change and be a, you know, go to church and say you're a Christian, but nothing changes? You can't. It's impossible. This is our life. It's not what we do. It's what we are. Church isn't what we do. It's what we are. You know, we're Christian. We can't do anything about that. And it's got to be our life. It's not a take it or leave it addition to the life that we already have. Our very being from the inside out. If it's real, I'm talking about if it's real. And the world don't understand. It's a mystery to them. When Christ comes and dwells in our heart, our eyes are open, our ears are open, and our understanding is opened. A lot of open things. And we begin to understand what God has prepared for us in this life. Everything that the world is looking for, God's hath. He's already prepared it, and we have it. What's the world want to be? Happy. We got joy. What's everybody wants to be? Loved, right? We got love. Everybody likes everything to be peaceful. We got peaceful. We got peace. All those things, love, joy, peace, power, understanding, meaning to life. All these things the world seeks after, and we did too, an eternal life. Man, everybody's doing all they can, man. Sucking up on them vitamins, pumping all that iron. Nothing wrong with that. Listen, man, take care of your body, temple of spirit. You ought to do that. But boy, they want to live longer, think that, but you're not going to live with so long. They want eternal life, right? Shangri-La, you know, finding the fountain of youth, right? Everything they're looking for, we got it. That's a mystery to them. With what confidence in Him, Jesus, are you living your life, thinking about your problems and standing in His power? What confidence are you living your life with? What confidence? Thinking about your problems and standing in His power. Listen here. There must be no false gods, no misplaced confidence, no compromise, no unconfessed sin, no theoretical faith, no unsurrendered life, no critical spirit, no unbroken heart, no worldliness, no self, nothing. Give you nothing. Paul said, I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Standing in the power of God. How is it with you? How is it with you? Is it a reality in your life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. And thank you for the angel family being with us, singing to us, and encouraging our hearts, Lord. And it's my prayer here tonight, Lord, that each one of us, we just examine our life and think about the reality of our faith, if it's real. Lord, if it's real. And as I said this morning, Lord, I know Satan wouldn't make a lost man doubt his salvation if he thought he was saved. No, he'd want him to stay that way, Lord. If there's any doubt, it's got to be from God. And, Lord, so I just pray, Lord, that if there's somebody here tonight, not sure their faith hadn't been a reality in their life, it's not their life, that you're not their life, Lord, that they'll get that matter settled here tonight before it is eternally too late. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do here in our invitation time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.